Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 3. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. This is the text. When John the Baptist came preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, many people, especially the Pharisees and Sadducees, teachers of the law and such, they saw no reason to submit to John's baptism. In the ancient Jewish tradition, Gentiles who wished to convert to the Jewish faith, they would go through a ceremonial washing, but these faithful Jews, pillars of the community as they were, they had already been engrafted into Abraham's covenant. In their minds, they were already good to go because of their family tree and because they had kept the covenant of circumcision. They believed that they were the children of promise because they could say, we have Abraham as our father. The Pharisees developed kinship laws so that they could determine who truly was a Jew and those who weren't, who didn't quite measure up to their personal standards. If you had too many, shall we say, Gentile branches in your family tree, the Jewish leaders could exclude you from full fellowship. They had missed the point of God's covenant with Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12, that the seed of Abraham would be a blessing to all nations. Some of Christ's most harsh criticism of the Pharisees, it was concerning their kinship laws. Throughout his ministry, Jesus shows time and again that membership in the kingdom of God, or in Abraham's family, it's through faith, not through bloodlines or genealogies. It's a good lesson for us. We dare not ever sit in judgment about others who maybe, shall we say, are not as German as we are and imagine that they don't deserve the grace of God as much as we do. In the days prior to Christ entering upon the scene and establishing his public ministry, the Pharisees, Sadducees, teachers of the law, they get called out by the preaching of John on this very subject. John knows that if any of these teachers of the law are actually coming to him for baptism, then they're being hypocritical of their own rules, since they teach that baptism for them would be unnecessary because they already adhere to the law. They already have this proud family ancestry. They don't need any sort of, you know, extra washing to get them into the family of Abraham. This is why John calls them a brood of vipers. This attitude comes from Satan. Not only does he say that they are from Satan, but he hurls a great insult at their proud ancestry. John says, I tell you, out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. If God can give a son to Abraham and Sarah when Sarah's 90 years old, who, you know, her womb was as useless as a stone. If God can do that, then he certainly can raise up children for Abraham, even from these useless rocks on the ground, if he chooses to do so. And if God can give Abraham children from stones, don't you think he could also raise up children for Abraham out of the Gentiles? Out of these people you hate and despise? And this means that when we look at all of God's children, we are to be reminded that it is God's desire that everyone would hear and receive that mercy and grace. I don't know if you've seen in the Reporter recent issues, Pastor Martin's over in Berlin with the he was at seminary when I was there working on some doctrinal whatever, I don't know. He's a lot smarter than I am. But he's over in Berlin, and in the last 2 years, his church has gone from 150 people to 600, and almost all of the new converts and new members are from Iran and Afghanistan. It's a fascinating story, and it's something that's really happening. And, you know, when we start to look at the world around us and what the gospel looks like, you know, that's what the gospel looks like. And that, you know, this is what John was talking about with the teachers of the law back in the day. God has a plan for this world, and it includes the gospel being preached to all nations. And thanks be to God that that was his plan, because I think most all of us, or probably all of us, come from the Gentiles. And we now have been engrafted into the family of Abraham. But our bond that we have with Abraham, it's not bloodlines. It's not through our family tree. We have a common bond. The bond is Christ, the Messiah, who would be the final lamb of sacrifice for the whole world. Abraham's faith, it says of him in Genesis 15, was credited to him as righteousness. His faith was in the coming Christ. We are now the children of Abraham. We are heirs of that promise. The one true God, he's not the God of the Jews or just the God of the faithful. He's the God of everyone. And St. Paul preaches this message. He spends the first four chapters of his letter to the Romans making this same point. We are the new Israel. We are the baptized holy nation of God. We are the people who have been called to produce fruit in keeping with repentance, as John the Baptist said. We are also called to share this good news that others may know the joy that we have. When John preached this message, the Jews became uncomfortable. It's not a bad thing, really. I mean, if God's word should make you uncomfortable on a regular basis. The call to repent should make you uncomfortable. When you confess, I, a poor miserable sinner. If that looking inside yourself doesn't make you uncomfortable, you should look again. Because in reality, if God's word never makes you uncomfortable, then, you know, as the saying goes, you might just be worshiping an idealized version of yourself. When John preached this message, the Jews became uncomfortable. Those who truly heard his message repented and were baptized. But he made everyone feel uncomfortable, because if what he says is true, then this changes everything. Everything that the Jews had placed their hopes on, their family tree, their blood ties to Abraham, all of this was now seen to be a non-factor. So they asked John, "What shall we do?" Well, after repenting and being baptized, John told the tax collectors, "Now, go out and don't collect more money than you should. And he tells the soldiers not to abuse their authority and extort money from the people. John, he just gives the people general guidelines on what repentance looks like. What it looks like is it affects your daily life. It causes you to see yourself differently. It causes you to see your neighbor differently. Repentance literally means to be changed, to turn around, or to have a change of mind. You're a different person than you were before. As children of Abraham, having been brought into God's family through the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, we are changed people. We're different. That's why the world outside of the church mocks us and hates us. The world doesn't like things that are different. And we see where we are now. Coming together as the people of God, living under His grace. We didn't get here by any work of our own. We have been declared not guilty, holy, righteous in the sight of God. This makes us different. In response to this, we are called to be generous, merciful, to be trees that bear good fruit. And this is to be seen in our daily life, in how we deal with one another. And we certainly do not trust in ourselves, trust in our family heritage, who we are, where we come from. And we are to not judge others by who they are or where they come from. Because if they have come to repent and be baptized, then they are changed from who they were or where they came from. And it makes them part of the family of Abraham. God can raise up children from stones and call them His own. He certainly can raise up children from anywhere on earth. But we are like Abraham. Abraham was called by God out of a godless land. He was brought to the promised land, but he would not inherit it. He would not see the fulfillment of that promise until after he died. And Abraham lived his life as a continuous thank offering, and his faith was credited to him as righteousness. The fulfillment of God's promise to you and me, the promise of eternal life, we have received it, but we won't experience the fullness of it until after we die, or unless Christ returns first. However, we have been called out of our godless existence through the waters of baptism. We have been changed, made new, and we have been called now to offer our lives as a meager thank offering for God's great gifts. And like Abraham, our faith has been credited to us as righteousness. And thanks be to God, we have Abraham as our father. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.